for years, we had spent so much time helping everybody else out with their charities, not only here in Miami, but around the country. We wanted to take get a chance to kind of make a more concentrated effort and focus on education being our big thing. Now has really grown organically, gotten bigger and bigger every year. Now in over 40 schools in Broward County. We have our own book out as we're unveiling it tonight.
I'm a writer. I'm a lover, not a fighter. A passionate poet, if you couldn't already tell from what I've been screaming from the bottom of the inkwells of every writer that wrote to find a meaning. Yeah, I'm Peter Lang.
Yeah, poetry for me, it's like a tool for me to use my words to convey ideas to the world. You know, it's like they see me sometimes in school, they didn't think, you know, I knew what I know until I started doing poetry and I performed it in front of hundreds of people. You know, then they finally understood that I know a lot more than I look like I do, you know. But
and there's a lot of times where I feel like nobody really wants to hear what I have to say unless I'm on stage, and then everybody's paying attention.
I heard that you survived a bit. You was an AKA rhyme scheme with models for that words, didn't care what his life did. You wasn't trying to sound deep, but that's what made it so empty, and that's what made it so special. Your word made him so heavy, and now people are leaving their ears to you.
Well, we're trying to make an impact by, number one, showing that we care, putting our money where our mouth is, giving them something to do each and every day, try to improve themselves, and even if it's in a small way.
The Jason Taylor Foundation and Blue Apple Poetry Network has impacted me because it's given me every resource and every opportunity to be the artist I am without being afraid, and they've given me so many outlets to perform and actually have people hear what I have to say.
You know, I was just a kid rapping in the hallways, battling people for respect. Now I'm a poet on all type of stages, opening people's hearts, you know, like.
They've given me a world of opportunity. I've gotten to go places and meet people and do things that I really never thought that I would ever get the opportunity to do. My work gets to be heard. I work at a smoothie store and some girl came up to me and said, "Wow, I really love your poem." And I was like, wow, like people know me. I exist.
As an artist, I think it gave me an opportunity to be published for the first time. I mean, I would have never been published if it wasn't for them, and it's a great experience. It's something that I can take with me for the rest of my life.
Well, it's great because I've never done any collaborations other with other artists and designers, but never with poetry. Just to be able to take someone's word, you know, paragraph or one line, and just be able to, you know, translate it into my art. It's a great, great call out. I would do it again.
Wow. My name is Brandon Marshall. I play for the Chicago Bears. I know your question was, you know, how has it impacted kids? I think his foundation not only impacts kids, but it also impacts men and women. You know, I can speak for myself. Everything I really do off the field, I kind of, you know, try to copy what Jason does. You know, so I think, you know, we all know what he's doing with the children, but something special is going on where he influenced the influencers. And I just think it's so special, especially tonight, what they're doing with the arts.
I feel as if I didn't have Jason Taylor in the foundation or Blue Apple Poetry, I, as a child, I don't know where I would be, honestly. Only because they took me in and they taught me, and it broadened my horizons, and it honestly made me change and made me a better person. And that's like, seriously.
Good afternoon, guys. Welcome to the Regal Poet Radio Show, the conduit for the poet entrepreneur. I am your host, Imone M. Prosper, and we are absolutely dedicated to providing a platform for the best and professional poets within the industry highlight the dynamic platforms available in the industry and deliver to you the best practices within the realm of artist entrepreneurship. So happy National Poetry Month to everyone. I'm always excited when this time comes around. And I am heading over to JP Taravella soon, so I'm excited to see the Poetry Club there, and we have some great things in store. So just saying a quick hello to the kids and Miss Crow before I get there. Today we're actually focusing on how to be louder than a poet, and it's an actual play on the title of the annual teen competition called Louder Than a Bomb. It's developed out of Chicago by the founder and prolific poet entrepreneur Kevin Koval. Louder Than a Bomb, or LTAB, or LTAB, as we so affectionately call it, has spread to about five other states, including making a stop here in South Florida for its inaugural debut, April 8th through the 18th. So to discuss this and to help us explore our topic of today of how to be louder than a poet is our special guest, Mr. Darius Daughtry. He's a writer, theater and creative writing educator, and artist entrepreneur for over 15 years, definitely more as I present this to you, a former school teacher, and is now and has been for the last 4 years, approximately, the organizer and stepped up into the official director of programming, that position approximately 2 years ago. We are pleased to have him on the show. Welcome to the show, the Jason Taylor Foundation, Omari Hardwick, Blue Apple Poetry Network's own Darius Daughtry. Welcome to the show, Mr. Daughtry. Are you there?
I am here. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. It is definitely a pleasure to have you. I am excited about exploring this topic with you. To start it off, let us set up the framework of being louder than a poet, because I feel that over the last 4 years, as I was developing the show, I started really reflecting that you, Omari Hardwick, and the rest of the team at the Jason Taylor Foundation have really made a great impact on the lives of these students, the community as leaders, and that really has set a bar quite high for after-school programming, just school programming as a whole, especially for the performing arts. And that's quite commendable, I must say.
Well, thank you.
You're very welcome.
What do you want to hear?
Now, I started What do you say?
Go ahead.
Okay, because you're already messing with me. You're already starting with me. If you don't know, Darius is hilarious and will make you cry if you're not paying attention. He definitely keeps you on your toes.
Cry in a good way.
Afterwards. After you're like, okay, I'm over it. Yeah, definitely. So now I started the show with a clip from the unveiling of Blue Apple Beginnings that was last year,
mm-hmm.
Which is a Jason Taylor and Mark Hardwick Blue Apple Poetry Network project, which does a good job of showing the impact of the network and the highlights the varied ways that the network is engaging the students into self-reflection, expression through poetry and storytelling, and collaborating with other artists. So
yes.
Tell me about Blue Apple's Beginnings, a book of poetry, original
okay.
art, and stories.
Yeah.
What's more?
Absolutely. Yeah, so Blue Apple Beginnings, it's an amazing book. Awesome. I mean, the book is awesome. It's very professionally done. It's like, should be on everyone's coffee table. So what it is, it's so the Blue Apple Poetry Network, the Omari Hardwick Blue Apple Poetry Network, began about 3 years ago, and it began as an after-school program in the city of Miramar. The Jason Taylor Foundation has a reading room there where they, Monday through Thursday, there's a literacy component, math component for middle and high school students to come out there and you know, get some help. And on Fridays, they started an actual poetry corner. And out of that, the whole Blue Apple Poetry Network was birthed, and it went from there and was able to get into Broward County schools, and now we've reached into Palm Beach and Dade County. But so the Blue Apple Beginnings book, actually, it takes a lot of the initial young poets that were part of this whole Blue Apple phenomenon, and so that's why it's the beginnings. And it pairs them, their original poetry, with professional artists and artists from South Florida and beyond. We had some people from California, New York artists, but a lot of homegrown talent that were used. And so we're in a meeting. We got all the poets in, and we paired them with artists, and they sat and talked about their poems and what inspired them.
And to clarify, we're speaking about visual artists, correct?
Visual artists. We had graffiti artists. We had some graffiti artists. We had some visual, some painters, people that use different media, like, you know, like charcoal or mixed media art. And so we had them sit and connect with the poets.
I think we might have lost the connection with Mr. Daughtry, which is fine.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you. Why'd you think we lost?
Yeah, I lost you for a couple seconds. So clarify, you were saying that these are visual.
I said visual, yeah. So the poets were paired with visual artists, meaning some were paired with graffiti artists, some were paired with someone who uses just digital media, some with paint, like strict painters or mixed media artists. And these young poets were paired with them, and some of them performed their poetry, talked about inspiration. And out of that, these artists created original works that went along with these young poets' poetry. And we put those in this fabulous book. And then the clip that we heard earlier was at the launching of the book, the unveiling of the book.
I think we're losing you a bit.
Can you hear me?
This is Darius.
Can you hear me? 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 Hello?
Hi.
Can you hear me?
Can you hear me? Yeah, a little bit. It kind of is going a little bit in and out. So let me take the time to, because I really want people to know how to pick up the book. Still there? So I can hear you better.
Okay. You hear me now?
Okay. I hear you.
Okay.
Perfect. Yay, we got
okay.
you.
All right.
All right, awesome. So we were saying that they were collaborating with various types of visual artists, graffiti artists.
Yep, media, mixed media, digital, and they created this book. It was unveiled at the Gibson Guitar Showroom down in the Design District in Miami. And it was a fabulous time. And so you can get this book. You can order it, whether by it's online at blueapplepoetry.org or calling the Jason Taylor Foundation at 954-424-0799. Can you hear me?
Okay, we're going to head over to one of our actual Blue Apple poets and actually showcase some of the things that the kids are doing while we are taking care of some of the phone issues that we're having. So sit back, relax, and enjoy some awesome poetry from one of our Blue Apple Poetry poets. Welcome back to the Regal Poet Radio Show. This is Imone M. Prosper, and I believe we still have Mr. Daughtry on the line. Are you there? Hello, Mr. Daughtry. Welcome back to the Regal Poet Radio Show. This is Imone M. Prosper, and I believe we have Darius on the line now.
I believe we do.
Wonderful. Thank you so much for your patience on that. And I, because I want to make sure everybody hears you, because you are louder than a poet, so we got to be able to hear you.
And I was screaming, dude. I was screaming.
So we left off with where we could find the Blue Apple Beginnings book. Where can we find it?
The fabulous Blue Apple Beginnings book can be found by calling 954-424-0799. Again, that's 954-424-0799. That's here at the Jason Taylor Foundation offices. Or you can go online and check it out at blueapplepoetry.org. That's B-L-U. apple poetry.org. There's no E on the blue because you're creative like that, you know?
Yes, please make sure we know there's no E on the blue. How many times have I done that?
No E because there's no E quarrel. Get it?
Okay. All right. We're moving on from that. Well, thank you so much. Now, you guys have made such I've seen such growth in so many of these teens. I've worked with them, even judged a couple of things with them. There's such a growth. They technically know about poetry. I find that so refreshing. In your perception, how have the dynamics changed for these teens and for the organization itself over the years? Has everyone grown up?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's definitely been a transition and a shift organizationally. And with the actual students, because we grew from just having an after-school program on a Friday in a room in Miramar to being involved in over 50 schools. And that in of itself is just tremendous growth, and it's through hard work. It's through just persistence. And I think those same qualities are evident in the students that we work with, their hard work and their persistence, because – you know, the idea is that we go in and I create a curriculum and I give it to the teachers that work with the students within the schools. But it's up to them to disseminate the information, and it's up to the students to be engaged and connect and put in that work to improve and to find those things that they really want to say and to learn and develop themselves as an artist.
Wonderful. Well, and it shows. It definitely shows. Now, your students are always writing. What is the secret to keeping the topics fresh and getting these dynamic poetic concepts flushed out into these completed works?
Well, I think I don't want to take total credit for that, right? But for me, I know that part of my personal practice as an artist is to always write. There is not a day that goes by that I'm not writing, or I'm not either creating something new or working on something old or editing something or something. I'm doing something. There's always this idea of me writing. Back in the day, you know, I used to just keep a little notepad in my back pocket to write things down. But now, since we have, you know, these phones and stuff, I can type just quick ideas down on my phone. So that's something that I kind of push and to just continue to have students to write. And even if it's a matter of I don't know what to write, but let that be the beginning of your writing. I don't know what to write. And start there and just see what comes out. And just because it's writing is it's like a muscle. You know, when you go to the gym, you just train the muscle. You just train it, you know, you strengthen it and you work out. And so you have to just continually work out your creative muscles for them to strengthen and for them to produce what you want them to produce.
I would definitely be posting that as a quote. That's a good one.
give me credit for it.
I will make sure to give you credit. So I'm telling you about it. Now, you have this very strong theater background. We won't talk about your Milo commercial at 4 years old that I always mess with you on. But now, does this theater background come into play? You know, pardon the pun on that, but does that come into play with that discipline?
Absolutely. As a young actor, for me, it was always, you know, important to stay on top of, you know, my lines and stay on top of just learning different things and being able to develop different characters. And then that's, I kind of went from just acting and then started to write my own material. And that definitely goes into play with everything that we do regarding poetry and Blue Apple. Because, you know, you just have to have that discipline. You have to know that, okay, well, at the end of the day, if you're going to be a performer or an artist or whatever, it kind of falls on you. And when I was in a play, I needed to know my lines. And even if somebody else in my cast didn't know their lines, I needed to know their lines, and I needed to know everything that was happening in the play. So it was a lot of studying, a lot of character development and everything that went into the practice of acting and then later on my career writing and directing. So it obviously just transitions well into what we do here.
Exactly. What other ways are you infusing your theater background and your entrepreneurship as well, being an entrepreneur for over 15 years?
Man, so stop saying the 15, man. That makes me feel a little old, but
it's okay.
Just say, you know, for a long time.
For a long time. Okay. I'll do that next time.
Correct. Well, the theater, the immediacy of theater for me is one of the greatest things. As me being a poet, a spoken word artist, is like that, because I bring that to the stage, because in theater, you feed off of whether it's your cast members and the energy of the audience and, you know, they feed off of you. And so it's like a give and take and ebb and flow. So that's important when it comes to, you know, to performance of any kind, especially this poetry thing, because you get up as a poet, you know, if you're not confident in what you're saying, if you're not completely standing in your words, you may not get that effect that you think that your poem is going to get from people, or they may not end up getting, you know, everything that you put forward into this piece. It may not be reflected if you don't, you know, practice and don't give your full effort every time you step on stage or put pen to page. As far as other entrepreneurial skills, you have to be very dedicated. And the idea of an entrepreneur of any is a lot about the work you do that people don't see. Any successful business person will tell you that it's about the work that you put in when people aren't looking at you.
Mm-hmm.
For me, that idea is, you know, getting up 2 and 3 o'clock in the morning, writing and working, or standing in the mirror, you know, or walking down the street, acting, looking crazy, but because I'm reciting lines and poems, it's that work that puts in, because only part of it is what ends up being seen. It's only like that tip of the iceberg that people see, but it's all everything beneath that is really what helps build your foundation, helps build you as an artist, an entrepreneur, a performer, whatever you want to be.
Now, one thing we focus on in the after school programs is memorization. And I feel that I agree that it is the key to a dynamic performance. Any tips on that? Just because I ask that because many of your poets have to write, then turn around and perform many newly written poems or collaborative pieces for various events. So there's a lot of go.
Yeah. I think for me, one of the things I've always done is the idea of chunking. I like to take portions of my piece and just get those down first. Like the first 8 lines, or find a reasonable break, a reasonable point to group these lines and just get those down. Because once you get those down and have it down and have a certain rhythm, then it becomes easier to move on to the next section. So for me, chunking is key. Also, what's great now is that I can record myself and listen to myself. So one of the things I do now is I have a new poem. I know I have a performance coming up. I'll record myself, and instead of listening to my Marvin Gaye, which is, you know, happy birthday to Marvin Gaye today. instead of listening to Marvin Gaye or Eric B. and Rakim or, you know, the new Kendrick Lamar album, I'll listen to myself over and over and over just to kind of allow that to seep into my subconscious and make it become just as natural, because hearing things, you know, allows you to remember things better. So for me now, chunking and that recording and listening to oneself, I think, is important.
Cool. So we don't need much, because all you need is your phone for that, really. Now, spoken word poetry is hot right now. Have you noticed a greater desire to be a spoken word artist from young people? And have you seen greater platforms for spoken word artists become available?
Platforms are concerned. You know, that's what we're doing. We're trying to provide multiple platforms. We do a couple of open mics. We do one at the City of Sunrise called the Lyrical Lounge. And we do the one at ArtServe every fourth Friday called The Voice Box. But then, you know, also the platforms of creating these different groups in the schools, because I know when I was growing up, we didn't have a poetry club at our school.
Right.
And so just creating these different platforms and then providing things like Louder Than Bomb Florida for these students to get up and share their souls and their hearts to the world. So, but yeah, I have seen in recent years, like, a greater desire. I think one thing that helps a lot of students want to say, okay, I want to do that, is like the internet. They can go and click on and type in poetry, spoken word poetry on YouTube or whatever, and find a million people doing it. Just seeing that, and then hearing other people, you know, and seeing people give enough to get up and share their stories to others, I think helps motivate some students to get into it. Because, you know, back in the day, you know, you heard the term poetry. A lot of people have a certain concept of what that means. They think it's Shakespeare, which, shout out to Shakespeare, but they think it's something that's not necessarily meant for a certain group of people. It's like old and archaic and, you know, or, you know, whatever it is. And so to see people that sound like, or look like you, or saying the same things that you are, it kind of helps open the door and open the mind. Okay, man, I can do this. And then once that mind is open, then you're like, okay, man, like, yeah, this is cool. But also, now that Shakespeare is cool too. I didn't realize that Shakespeare, he was spitting. You know, Shakespeare got bars.
That's cool. I like that. So I'm going to touch base on the artist entrepreneurship just one last time, that you've done that for a very long time.
Yeah.
And you kind of told us what makes a successful artist entrepreneur, but what brought you back into, because you just came from a position as a school teacher, and now, you know, you're director of programming. That would be, quote unquote, the corporate world. What brought you back into that?
See, I don't want to wear that label. Like, I don't like that.
I know.
I did real corporate before. Like, before I became a teacher, I was like in an office every day, and, you know, dealing with numbers, because, you know, one of my degrees is in finance, and so I was doing that for a while, which was the worst thing ever.
But I'm sure you brought some of that with you.
Yeah, but I try to leave a lot of it behind. But what was the question? I think for me, it was just this opportunity when it arose to have this more of a wide reach and be able to connect and affect a greater group of people, because I was working at Northeast High School. I've been there for 7 years, and I feel I was having a profound impact on a lot of students. But being able to help reach the masses, I think for me was something that was very, 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 very attractive to me. And so what we're doing now allows me to still, in a sense, do what I was doing, but just to kind of allow my reach to, you know, to affect more people. And so, like, yeah, I don't really want to, you know, corporatize myself. You know, so I'm not going to really wear that label that you want to give me.
Don't worry. You're fine. and they always say, if you could do what you do free, that's when you know what where you need to be. And every time I see you, you seem to truly, truly be enjoying what you're doing. So I know that you're where you're supposed to be.
Absolutely. And I don't mind getting paid, though. So cool.
Of course. Of course.
And I'll tell you that. So back to that, like, I think one of the things about making a successful artist entrepreneur, right, is the idea of being able to evolve and as an artist and to be able to shift and change when necessary, and also to not undervalue yourself. Oftentimes, as artists, people are going to undervalue you, and maybe they're always like, oh, yo, can you do this poem for me? Oh, yo, can you come and perform at the spot for me? Or, you know, or whatever. But they don't want to pay you. Or they want to pay you that this, like, they think that you should just be happy because you're getting a platform to perform, which in some cases is cool, it's great. You know, but you have to set some certain values for yourself, for your art, because of the time that you're putting in and everything. You know, you have to set some certain values. And so don't undervalue yourself. Maybe don't overvalue yourself where you'll never, you know, be anywhere performing or doing anything. But also just be cognizant that people are going to try to take advantage of you, and don't sell yourself short.
That's wonderful. And it's funny that I've just had that conversation. You're like the third consecutive poet that I've had this conversation with this month. It was Devin Robinson X and Lamont Carey, but Devin said it perfectly. He said that when we all choose to value our work in such a way, then if he comes to someone and says, hey, yeah, it takes $5,000 for me to do a show, he does that organizer doesn't say, you know what, I have someone else to go, I can fall back on. But if everyone across the board values themselves at $5,000, then it is recognized that $5,000 is what I need to pay. And he said it so perfectly. He's like, because you basically leave your soul on stage, you know, so why wouldn't you want to be taken care of? But we all collectively have to think that way.
Yeah, I mean, now, of course, certain people are going to command different, you know, scales because of, you know, their track record or whatever it is.
Right.
So it all depends. Like, you have to just kind of be cognizant of that. Just don't think, oh, well, oh, he got 10,000, so I got to get 10,000, even though no one has ever heard me do a poem ever in my life. You know? So you got to be aware of that.
And yes, please be aware.
Yeah, and then, I mean, and trust, like, there are times in which you're going to be like, yeah, nah, I'm just going to do this because I believe in the cause, or I believe in the person, or I believe in what may come out of it. Because oftentimes what comes out of a situation is a lot more important than how much money you get from that situation, you
right.
know, whether it's connections or just the opportunity or the platform or the press or whatever it is. You know, so you'll get a lot out of it that isn't monetary at that moment. But in the future, there's potential for a lot more. So, yeah, it's important to value yourself, and also, but then I'll say this, even though what Devin was saying, you know, it's we tend to try to compare ourselves to other people, and you know, don't spend a lot of your time just comparing yourself to other people. Like, yeah, you know, maybe you see what's going on, what the going rate is, what people are doing, whatever, but just kind of take stock in yourself and what it is for you, because if you're saying, like, you know, I this is my living. This is what I want to do for a living. So you know that if you're doing X amount of shows or X amount of performances, you got to get paid X amount of dollars in order for you to be able to eat and pay your bills. So you know that. But if you're like, you know, this is something I just like to do every once in a while, and I just do it because it's fun, and, you know, then what you may decide to charge or to as your fee may be different. So I think each case ends up being different, but I think it's important at the end of the day, you know who you are, and you don't, you know, put your value lower than it actually is.
Right. And I find that when you are clear about what your worth is, even if you should decide to do a show for exposure or for a connection tie, when you say that during the negotiating time, I think that that organizer also understands, oh, this person is doing this in-kind donation, but you know, there's a value to what they're doing. It's not just me coming up, again, just doing a poem. I am providing a service. And there is a cost for my service, but I'm choosing to do this. Maybe you're bartering. This is when you negotiate. Okay, well, can I promote a book? Can I do this? Or can I let people know where my next event is? You know, there has to be that verbalization of, okay, there's a reason why I do this.
Absolutely, because like you said, there's that value. So, you know, and you express that value and you're respected more, right? So not when you're talking about, oh, this is what my is, that automatically, you know, because money talks, people say, okay, oh, okay, well, this is how they feel about their craft. So you look at them in this perspective. And if you're like, hey, can I, like you said, promote my event or sell my book or whatever. So there is still that value that's added from you offering that service.
Absolutely, absolutely. So we have a couple of questions left, but before we move into that, I really want the audience to understand why I called this section, this segment, Louder Than a Poet, because as I stated, and I specifically played that Blue Apple Beginnings release because of, and forgive me, guys, all of you football fans, is it Brandon Marshall or is it Marshall something? It's Brandon Marshall. Woo, I got it. He said, you know, you asked me one question, but I have to gear it towards, okay, I emulate everything that Jason Taylor does with my own organization because he impacts so many lives, not just these youth, definitely the adults. And I thought that was such a profound a soundbite from that, because I have to say that is something that I am privy to, you know, being able to work with you guys, because we talked about this before on your show, which is every Monday on 88.5 FM at Piper High School. Shout out to Mr. Farley. and was one day I had the workshop, and the club decided not to meet. They had just lost a friend, you know, to a murder, unfortunately. And the group got together with the leadership of Zohari and Williams and had an assembly. The assembly had to have at least 500 people that got together, and they had a vigil. Instead of that a candlelight vigil as we're used to, it was an artist vigil where they had poetry, rap music, however the group wanted to express themselves. The chorus was there. They gave them that platform to do that. And I thought that, you know, it was great for the kids, but for me, sitting there, it was like a dream come true because, you know, I lost a friend right at high school, like right before we graduated. And that seems to be like a theme for a lot of people. And we didn't have that, you know, that way to express ourselves. And about 2 years ago, there was a mobilized fight that was set up at the Lauderhill Mall. And it had to be thousands of kids that got together and wanted to hash out fights that they had from Arthur Ashe Middle School that was shut down. And I remember saying to myself, oh my God, how did these kids get together and mobilize something like that? Like, if they could put that energy and create something good to express themselves and hash things out, that would be so amazing. So sitting in that assembly at Piper High School, it was almost like God saying, here you go. Here, you're part of something that's louder than, you know, just being a poet. Here, a young student was able to mobilize 500 kids and put something together in a very short time, days, and create something positive and magnificent. So I have to commend Blue Apple and Jason Taylor for that, you know, just to be able to do that.
Yeah, I mean, and that's, I think that was a great moment, because I think it's just a testament, as you said, like, because as artists, you know, if you think about throughout history, some of the greatest social activists have been artists. And so the idea that you're able to galvanize a group of people and do it through art and this particular art form is just a testament of the power and ability of artists, and the fact mm-hmm. that it wasn't a football player or it wasn't the student government president that helped organize this thing. It was this poet, this president of the poetry club who has become a leader on their campus, and the fact that it's poetry. And actually, he's a former football player, and he gave that up to pursue and focus on poetry. And the fact that you're able to do that just speaks to the testament and the power of art as a social movement.
Right. And the poet right now, we are getting a lot of attention politically. We've lost one, a gentleman. I can't recall the name right now, but he was a poet and activist and was murdered for his words. So, yeah, we do have a lot of power, and we have to make sure that we are galvanizing it in a way that we are heard for what we believe in. We are the pulse, as I've always said. So tell us about Louder Than a Bomb. This is for Louder Than a Bomb. I'm excited. I can't wait till next week, and just, you know, engage and just get involved in that. So tell us a little bit about that.
Right. So Louder Than a Bomb, Florida. Right. So I mentioned, you know, when we came on, was Louder Than a Bomb originated in Chicago. And, you know, co-founder is Kevin Coble, a friend of mine, a wonderful poet, dope guy. And it's a youth poetry festival. And it's their 15th year. This is our first year. So we got with the Young Chicago Authors, and we were able to help to bring Louder Than a Bomb Florida, right here in South Florida. So the idea is we have over 30 schools competing starting on April 8th. And it's going to be an 11-day festival where these schools get to compete, kind of like a March Madness that's going on right now. And they go against each other, but it's, while it's a competition, it's about really about the community and the connection and the creativity and getting together and performing. So they're going to be performing all throughout South Florida. A lot of the shout out to Miami Dolphins Foundation and Nova Southeastern University and the Knight Foundation and all the other sponsors that help bring this to fruition. And so on April 16th, we'll crown our individual champion, and on April 18th, we'll crown our team finals champion.
Yes.
But within in the midst of that, we have a lot of other events going on. We have a slam in which all the coaches from the teams, all these teachers from these different schools will be performing. That's happening on April 12th. It's going to be a big party, a big festival kind of atmosphere. That's happening on the 17th. There's a college slam happening on the campus of Nova Southeast University. DJ Hercules from 99 Jams. And hosted by amazing HBO poet Asia. He's going to be the host that evening. There's a town hall meeting on arts and education. There's a firecracker slam happening on the 10th at Dillon High School, which is all the elementary schools and middle schools. They'll get a chance to perform and do their thing, which is going to be pretty awesome. Semifinals on the 11th, so that's all-day festival with over 16 schools competing to make it to the finals. It's going to be crazy. It's going to be like
yeah.
Opening.
I mean, I love it.
Yeah, it's crazy. Like, so everybody, you should go on blueapplepoetry.org and look for LTAP Florida and find out more information about where you can get, you know, tickets and where to go on the 8th and 9th. If you know, I don't know who's working or what your work schedule is out there, but if on the 8th and 9th at 8:30 and 11:30, there's going to be different bouts. So you guys can come out and check out maybe your school is performing, because maybe you went to Dillard or Northeast or Plantation or Piper or Norland, right? Maybe you're doing one of these schools. So you can check online and see where your school is competing. And you can come out and check them out and root them on. And,
awesome.
So you can go online and check out, see where you can get tickets for the events, for the semifinals and the finals and the college slam. So come on, community, come out and support.
Yes, and it's all ages. So, you know, bring the family. And is there a set price for the tickets? I had never asked you.
Yeah, so they vary. The tickets vary. You know, there are a lot of there are some adult and general admission prices. They vary for different events, but then there are student prices as well. So, you know, bring your kids out and let them come in and enjoy some of the things. I will say, if you saw like the College Slam, if I know some of the topics kind of get, you know, maybe not your 4 or 5 year old. I don't know if you want to bring that person out. Maybe. I mean, yeah, you're the parent. I'm not. So, you know, you decide what you want to do. But it's a great event for the most part. For the most part, there won't be anything that's going to, you know, no profanity in the poetry or anything like that. So, come on out, like, just check the prices online. Like, you know, the finals, I think the highest ticket is $20. But this is, like, first of all the money, just so everyone knows, like, it doesn't even come back to me. It's just recycled back into this program to continue to give these students an opportunity to have this platform to do this thing, to just share their souls and continue to grow and end up being productive parts of society. So, who doesn't want to support that?
Perfect. Perfect. So, and we always hashtag LTAB FLA. If you want to see that,
no,
go ahead. Sorry. No, you're good. Go.
Hashtag LTAB FLA. Also, follow us. You can find out more information on everything on Blue Apple Poetry. Again, that's BLUAPPLEPOETRY. You know, on Instagram, on Twitter. You can follow Omari Hardwick, Blue Apple Poetry Network, on Facebook, Jason Taylor Foundation. You can follow myself. It's Darius, Darius.DAUGHTRY. That's on Instagram, and it's an underscore instead of a period on Twitter. So all the information you need to know about any and all of this will be in all of those platforms. And
awesome.
Hashtag LTABFLA.
And you should go on the hashtag LTABFLA now and see some of the things that we've done. There's some videos that are tagged through the hashtag. You can see exactly the treat that you have by being a part of LTABFLA or just being a part of Blue Apple Poetry Network. There's so much going on, and that leads us to the connection. You mentioned those websites. Can you also mention how interactive they are so that kids can know? First of all, there may be a student that's listening and say, or an adult that wants their school to participate in Blue Apple Poetry. Why don't you tell them how to do that and how interactive we are with the students, even online?
Awesome. So there are multiple ways. If you're out there, you're like, man, I want to be involved in this in some kind of way, whether you're a school, whether you're a teacher, whether you're a student, a parent, whether you're like, man, I want to volunteer and help this out. So you can always – all the information is online at blueapplepoetry.org. But if you go ahead and tweet us or hit us on Instagram, we're going to, like, basically – we have, like, Instagram and Twitter stalkers. So as soon as somebody does something, and we're right back at you, like, almost immediately. And a lot of the things that we're going to be doing for a lot of them in the Bomb Florida, we're going to be pushing it out via social media. And I'll just say this. If you want to be involved in this, you can go ahead and email me directly. It's Darius, D-A-R-I-U-S, at jasontaylorfoundation.com. And let me know what it is if you want to be a part of it. You know, online, there's, like, some prompts online for you guys to write, and, you know, you can be get the poem of the week. We post online, we on the radio show that we do every Monday. Yeah, we, you know, just holler at us. We're gonna holler
right
back.
And you guys always are developing new ways and ideas to be creative. So I would be remiss not to mention that we had Louder Than a Library going on, and that was a way for us to go from the classrooms to the libraries out there, and we did workshops there, adult open mics for the students, and competition is this Saturday for everyone that's representing a library at the African American Library. That was really cool to do. I felt honored to be a part of.
Yeah, and come on out. 3 o'clock. 3 o'clock. It's free. Come on out to the library. Check it out. And, yeah, so we're going to be doing a lot of things coming up. We also have the South Florida Youth Poet Laureate that we're launching, which basically is an extension of what we're doing. And as soon as we get to submit a portfolio of work and, you know, to become the Poet Laureate of South Florida for us. We're going to be doing some workshops and things of that nature over the summer. So, yeah, please stay connected.
Awesome. And those are the best way. And whoever's behind, I think it's Sean that's behind the social media, and he does a really good job. Exactly what he says. As soon as you send something out, you send a following, you send some kind of information that you are part of what was going on with Blue Apple, they respond right away. So if you need that, if you hate being on Twitter and feel like nobody's talking to you, just connect with Blue Apple Poetry and, of course, the Jason Taylor Foundation, and we'll have a conversation with you all the time. Okay, so you covered everything, what we can expect and what's next for Blue Apple Poetry Network. So we're excited to post pictures and get involved starting the 8th until the 18th, and we'll love to have you back on the show again to cover something else that has to do with Blue Apple, because you guys are so innovative with what you're doing.
I mean, I suggest you just have me on every week. How about make me a co-host? I mean, I might just work.
You really? A co-host? That's something I would have to think about. I always cast the net out to the audience and see what they would like to do. But I think that, you know, we have the banter thing going on really well. So that's something I definitely have to think about.
Maybe not every week.
Oh, now we're taking it back.
a guest co-host from time to time.
Yeah. Again, I am more than open to that. Definitely. So, guys, thank you so much for listening in. Those of you that are coming in at 12 noon, we are teaching artists, and it's a half day today. So I'm jumping from host to teaching artist to mom in like 20 seconds. I'm surprised we didn't hear the school bell ring yet. So what I'd like you guys to do is go ahead and click on the link of our show. It was an awesome interview with Mr. Darius Daughtry. Thank you so much for being on the show with us.
Oh, it was Mr. Darius. My pleasure. See you next time.
Definitely. And check him out on, you guys had a great conversation last week at 5 o'clock about what we're talking about now, but the artist entrepreneurship. I really love the insight of Zoe and Doug and yourself when you were even comparing it with rap.
Yeah.
So yeah. I really love that. I love that.
You can we post the radio show on SoundCloud, so you can check it out on SoundCloud/ Jason Taylor Foundation.
Make sure you put the .com, SoundCloud.com, / Jason Taylor Foundation. So, guys, thank you so much for tuning in. If you're coming in on now, go ahead and click on the link so you can hear the entire interview with Mr. Darius Daughtry. Those of you that were with us, thank you so much. I hope you have a great lunch, and we'll see you at Louder Than a Bomb starting April 8th. And, of course, next week we have Michelle Scriptures with Inspire Love. She's an awesome writer and poet. Exactly, as well, but she's mysterious because no one knows what she looks like. I do, but no one. She doesn't take pictures, but she has such a grand following. So I can't wait to interview her about being a mysterious poet.
You gotta let me spit something next time, but I gotta go.
Yes, I know. Definitely, I will do. So I have to have you back on as a co-host so that we can hear, because you have some great work out there. You got to come back very, very soon. So bye, guys. Have a great one. Always remember to be yourself and be regal. Have a good day.
We now come to the end of another dynamic episode of the Regal Poet Radio Show. I truly hope you enjoyed yourselves and learned something that inspires you, educates you, and empowers you to take your art form to the next level. The pieces you have heard today will be the featured videos on our YouTube channel at Regal Poet under the Regal Poet of the Week playlist. leave a comment and a like. More importantly, share on the social media you use or just send an email to a friend or a colleague of the playlist and of one of our Regal notes off of Facebook, also under Regal Poet. That's spelled REGALPOETE. If there's a poem you would like to share that inspired you to love poetry, a poet who fits the bill as a great entrepreneur, or a topic you would like to hear on our show, please feel free to contact us at regalpoet, REGALPOETE, at gmail.com, or leave us a voice message at 772-245-POET. That's 772-245-7638. We also like photos of our Regal Poets looking fabulous, so you can tag us with hashtag Regal Poets, where we'll find it on all of the photo apps from Instagram to Flickr. We will see it. We're on all of those. This program is being made possible by the generous contributions of our listeners. If you'd like to be a member of the Regal Poet family, please leave a donation through PayPal with our email, REGALPOETE@gmail.com, as the recipient. Again, thank you for listening. Tune in next week, where we will be featuring another Regal Poet of the Week. Enjoy the rest of your lunch, and always remember what poet Walt Whitman says. There are two selves, the public self and the real self, the regal self. Regal poets say, be yourself, be regal.